Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
So klingt frische Musik. Und so klingt frische bei Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten. 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere Angebote zum Aldi-Preis. Und weiter geht's mit frischer Musik für jeden Geschmack. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Hello, Lewis.
To the Triforce Podcast. Hello, Sips.
Hi.
Hello, Sips.
I'm good. Hi, Hyperion.
Hi, Hyperion.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Ted. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys.
How are you guys?
Hi,
how
Lewis.
You guys doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing good.
How are you doing, Sips? AKA Chris.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for asking.
Good?
I hope
you
guys
welcome.
Are good too.
I'm doing good.
Oh, good. How about that weather, eh?
Oy. Oh,
fog.
Oh, never stops. Jeez, just need the summer now.
I feel like there's weather every day now. What's happening?
It's always weather. It's the weapons.
Weather.
It's the weather weapons.
Weather
They're deploying
day.
Them all over the place now. It's not even just in the US and A anymore.
The US and A.
And A, yeah.
The US and A. That's the United States and assholes.
That's the one.
Did you guys... So this is something I forgot to mention about New Year, right? When I was at New Year, we were in Spain. And they have this thing, I don't know if you know this, where they eat
they
grapes.
They speak Spanish?
They eat grapes at the New Year.
Oh, how exciting.
So they eat grapes. In time with the bongs. the bongs that go off, I guess, 12. So they have 12 grapes.
12 bongs.
And which I guess is like the Big Ben bongs. It's a whole mishmash of the culture, isn't it? That whole thing. It's
the
all
culture.
Very confusing. Everyone has their own like thing they do. We sing Auld Lang Syne for some reason.
Well, that's a song
Old
about
man's
New
eye,
Year's, isn't it? Old Man's Eye. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it about New Year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
Oh, okay, maybe.
And
it's
never left to rot.
But it's so horrible. Well, the thing is, that didn't happen. It was like I was at a hotel full of English tourists on that night, and they didn't do an Auld Lang Syne, and I was like kind of disappointed. But everyone else had their own little things. Like some people were dancing around, and some people were shaking everyone's hands. It was all like, I wasn't sure what I was...
Did like, you... You weren't there for Christmas, though, so you missed out on all the Feliz Navidads.
Feliz Navidad!
It's a tune.
Feliz Navidad!
I like it, honestly.
Feliz Navidad de cumpleaños y felicidad.
I did say that to a few people in the street.
I think that's a mixture of, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Kind
that's
of
nice.
Kind
I
of ironically,
wish you a Merry Christmas. Isn't that one?
I sort of said it in a kind of like jokey tone. Like, there was a guy like stood by his like bike that he'd crashed into something, and it was like sat on the floor.
Right.
And he looked at me, and I was like, "Oh,
I'm just
Feliz Navidad."
Wait, you said it in that moment.
English to Spanish. I'm doing a Google Translate here. I want to know. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah. Quiero desearte una feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying to people?
Spanish. I learned, you know, spent ages learning German and French. I don't really want to go there.
What? No? Those great countries.
Yeah.
I know.
Exciting.
Do you want some Birdwatch 2025 news from Flax's? I've got a new bird thing going on, okay?
A new bird thing.
Bird
no, go
thing
on.
Going on. Not this
is like birds. This is like the Triforce's answer to Country File.
Yes, that's what it's going to be.
Right.
I have my office
we
window.
We know how old we are.
My office window I tend to have open because I've got quite a lot of equipment in a relatively small room and it pumps out a lot of heat, so I have the window open, especially when I've got the door closed. And because it's January and the pigeons are thinking, oh, we're going to be having babies soon, better find somewhere to nest. There are these wood pigeons that keep flying up and landing on my windowsill, and I'm only a few feet from the window, and I look at them and they look at me, and they're just sort of hanging out. And I think they think, oh, that would be a cracking place for a nest. But this husband bird, the male bird, he turned up, and then his wife turned up, and she had a look in at the same time, and I could see her thinking, it's a bit big for what we need, isn't it? And he was like, well, no, it's, you know, we could room to expand. Look, we could put an extra room in there. She's like, no. So she hasn't come back, but he keeps coming back. That's it.
Right.
They are so intelligent, really. You know, they a lot of people think these are just rats with wings, but they're
I
not.
I like pigeons. Also, yeah, these are pigeons. These aren't rock doves. The pigeons, quote unquote, pigeons you see in Trafalgar Square are rock doves. They're not pigeons. These
I love when they walk and their head has to move every time they take a step.
What is up with that? I love that.
Yeah.
It's like a wagtail. So, yeah. The wagtail, their tail has to wag. It makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. You just got to make sure, you know, if you like pigeons a lot and you are letting them into your house, you should never let them into your house. But if you do, for whatever reason, or you decide to keep them or whatever, be warned, their poop is quite toxic and can overwhelm and kill you.
Really?
Especially if there's lots of it. Yeah. That they always say, you know, like if, you know, if somebody's like working on an old barn or, you know, like a place where a pigeon would typically like to nest, or a lot of them would like to nest and call home, you got to be careful. Like a loft or whatever, if they've pooped everywhere, their poop can be quite quite toxic. Yeah.
Oh, so here's why. It's because it gets linked to something, a fungus called Cryptococcus.
Right.
That's
not cryptocurrency. This is a different
Cryptococcus.
I think that's the other name for Elon Musk.
Yeah. Exactly. Cryptococcus Musk. That's his Latin name. Elon Musk.
That was his hardcore character in Path of Exile before it died.
Oh my God. Can we talk about that, please?
Do we have to?
Just briefly. Because I just want to say, if you are going to pull the wool over people's eyes, I genuinely think the one group of people who you are never, that's never going to work on is hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
Because they take their game so seriously,
yeah,
and they're so online. He live streamed himself clearly not knowing how to play this game,
yeah,
like clearly. And what did he think was gonna happen? These are not voters, these are gamers. There's a big difference.
He had a top 10 hardcore character. To put that into context, the people who are top 10 hardcore have played basically every waking moment the game has been out,
yeah,
like, you no time to do anything else, like they are shitting and pissing in a trough next to their computer and stuff. Like it is like the most hardcore.
It is insane.
And he was number six or something. So it's actually impossible.
Yeah.
I think one of I said this somewhere else, but one of the things he said back in the day was he just doesn't have time for anything. And so even like this whole bullshit of like, oh, I don't even have time to have sex with a woman.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get her pregnant, get her to go to a clinic.
Yeah.
You know, it's quicker for me to just wank off and give it to her in a tub. Like what kind of, and how has he got time to do 1,000 hours of Path of Exile 2?
It's insane.
It's not possible.
It's a lie.
He's got a team of like
four
people
at an instant,
running it for him.
You could, but
being paid.
Like even things like he had his maps saved as Elon's maps.
Yes.
Which was
the pair of gloves that his character was using. He commented at one point, he said, oh, you know, these gloves are only level 52 and I'm level whatever, 90 or whatever. So they're kind of low level. Those gloves are the best build enabling gloves in the whole game. Best in slot. Yeah. Then they're not like mega difficult to get, but you know, they're out of reach of people who are just playing the game for the first time or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah. I look at some of these people who post on these subreddits, right? And I played the game. I played Path of Exile for 1,000 hours. Okay. And there's people who are doing, I went on Reddit like once and there was a guy who did
one
run. Yeah. It was like a TikTok kind of like clip of him just going through a thing.
Yeah.
And he got more loot in that thing, like 100 times more loot in that thing than I'd ever got in 1,000 hours. The people at this high level are on a completely different level to regular people.
Yeah.
And there's no way Elon Musk is, of all the games to pick.
I know.
Right?
Well.
He could, like if he picked Civilization 6, we would never have known.
Right.
If he picked any reasonable game, but imagine if he picked Dota, you know, we would know. You cannot.
Yeah.
You know,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I guess it's just tied into his ego, or, you know, he just has to be seen as being great at these things that maybe he holds in some esteem.
Well,
or
I think in his head, though, here's how it works. In his head, he thinks, if I had the time, I would be this good, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, I can pay someone and then act like I'm this good, right?
Right.
That's the delusion that, like, sets root in his head, you know, that I am talented, I am skilled at this, I'm a natural, and I could be, I'm just taking the shortcut there because I don't, you know, want to waste my time, you know, my time's valuable, I'm saving the world, guys, I can't be sat here on my ass playing Path of Exile 2 like you losers every day.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so strange.
Oh god, I've played so much of it so far. I've been playing it a lot. It is frustrating, but also very addictive and quite good as well. But I've enjoyed this more than I enjoyed
the first
one.
You're worse than Elon Musk at it, though. So consider that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah,
he's far superior.
He's better.
He
than
is. Yeah. Even when he's not lying, he's probably better than me at it. But what can you do, eh? But no, it's been fun. There's a big patch coming out for today, actually, that's going to fix a bunch of stuff. So that'll be good too. Exciting times.
I've been playing single player Tarkov.
Yeah, that's fun. That is really fun.
But this is the full mod for single player Tarkov.
Oh.
So there's two versions. There's the PvE mode, which is the official Battlestate Games single player version.
That's the one I was playing, and I enjoyed
which was
that.
Fun. I enjoyed it. This is so much better.
Is it?
That, yes. Like, I've installed it and a bunch of other mods to go with it, and it feels like Tarkov. Like, really does. The fights are really fun. It's like the AI is pretty good. Genuinely, at times you're like, holy shit, they're like flanking me. And it's you can adjust it. So you can make it easy. You can make it harder. You can make the loot scarce. You can make more of it. And you can add like little quality of life mods. The one I've got is a fucking map in the top right corner.
Oh, that's nice.
Like a mini map. And then you can bring it full screen. It'll show you where you need to go for your quests. Where are the extracts? Where are you on the map? Which is so much. It's so useful.
Nice.
So I couldn't recommend it enough. I've been playing that for the last couple of weeks. Or maybe not even.
Yeah, I played it a couple of months back. I was playing the PvE one.
Yeah,
not modded. And,
it was fun enough, right?
Yeah, it was fun. We had a couple of groups. There was the usual, you know, team killing fucking wild goons just like getting one-shotting you from halfway across the map.
Oh my
stuff.
God, yeah.
But I mean, all in all, though, it was fun. And it was... nice and chill, you know, like you didn't have that layer of brick in it, knowing that, you know, Super Chad was out there hiding in the bushes with his, you know, meta-breaking loadout and everything. Yeah. It was a nice change for sure. A nice change of pace. I appreciated it.
I would like to see your mod list. Is it on your stream?
Me?
So you get yeah.
So I've only got about 8 mods installed at the moment. Maybe not even that. I'll tell you what I've got. I mean, there's
just
a bunch.
Just for me personally.
So there's one called Swag/Donuts, which everyone's waiting on that to be updated.
Swag/Donuts.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know why it's called. I think it's the two guys that made it, but it's basically like a mod that adjusts how the enemies spawn and where and what kind of stuff they do.
Okay,
all
right. Okay,
so I've got one, if you guys have played Tarkov, called Continuous Healing. So you know when lots of bits of you are damaged and you go to heal it and it takes out the med kit, heals that one thing, carefully puts a med kit away, load of wank, you just keep the med kit out and he just heals everything all in one go, which is nice. Check marks, so every item has a little check mark and you mouse over it shows you need 3 of these to build this item in your hideout, you need 2 of these for this quest, you need 4 of these for that, which is good. A progressive bot system, so the bots, it's called Acid Phantasm's progressive bot system, levels up, the bots level up with you.
This is so weird to even I'm like thinking, why would you go from this multiplayer experience back to a single player experience? Like,
well, I
in
think
a sense.
Just having more control over some of the parameters and stuff. I mean, you can't control how good other people are, but you can fine tune a single player experience to fit what you're looking for at the time. I think it makes a lot of sense.
No, it does.
I'll give an example of what it's done for me, especially when I played the PvE mode, but even now when I'm playing this playthrough, is Tarkov is a genuinely fantastic game. It really is. And it's got this, there's this, the feel to the world and the guns and the fighting and everything. even just the medical system, the way you're sort of desperately bandaging up. And then as you advance, you get better armor, you get stims so you can fight longer and you don't take damage, all that kind of stuff. I didn't get to experience that in the PvP game because I'm just not good enough.
No.
And because there's no matchmaking and there's no lobby system, you are thrown in with the top Tarkov players in Europe could well be on your server. And I mean, then you throw without hackers and stuff like that on top of that. It's just so difficult. And so there was a huge amount of the game that was gatekept from me by my own skill that I've now been able to explore. I learned labs. I've never fucking learned labs before.
No, I mean, I've never stepped foot in labs. Right. Labs is like the sweatiest map in the whole game.
Well, now
that's
know
where
it.
All like the turbo nerds go and
And all the
farm
hackers
and stuff.
And all the loot hoovering guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So now with the single player, I got to explore that map. And it's a great map. Like I'm fighting bosses. I'm trying to take them on. So it feels like I've been able to adjust the game so that it's hard enough for someone of my skill level that I am feeling challenged and having fun and not thinking, oh, I bet that guy was hacking or that was desync between me and the server. The server is running on my PC. Like it's a little server client that runs on your PC and then you play a version of Tarkov that attaches to that server. So it's all you. There's no desync. It's much better.
I think when you're playing against other people who are just, you know, in another league better than you at the game, the thing that hurts the most is you just feel like your time has been wasted, you know, by the time. I mean, and the thing is, like playing Tarkov, not PvE on your own or with friends or whatever, the time to get into a map is long. You know, there's lots of loading and waiting and lobby and stuff like that, and then only to just get in and then just get instantly killed by somebody who, again, just knows the game way better than you, knows where you're going to spawn, probably is waiting for you, ready to kill you and take your stuff, and you've just wasted half an hour of your time for nothing. You don't learn anything from it. You're not going to get better that, or, you know, it sucks.
Is it also in the back of your mind that there might be people hacking or cheating in
some
way? You
can't help but think sometimes. Yeah, but I mean
it's probably only a small percentage of people, right? But it's
there
very
are
small,
and then but I mean it's just at this point it's quite an old game as well, isn't it? It's not new.
I see. So the people who are playing it are playing
it's been out for years, and those people have just been playing it for that long. And they just know all these little tricks and, you know, ways to get ahead because they're used to playing against people who are on their level. So, you know, I walk into a map and it's just free junk for them. It's a free kill. It's free stuff. Like, I'm never going to take one of those guys down.
Do you know what I think is weird is it's really only video games where people get kind of, I guess, precious about how other people are playing.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's some people like, why would you play this? Why wouldn't you play PvP? You know, you're not hardcore or whatever. And they'll sort of have that attitude.
Yeah.
And I think, can you imagine that in any other circle of life with other people's pastimes, like knitting?
Yeah.
If you were knitting and people in public were flaming your knitting and saying, you're pretty slow. That's unacceptable. Why are you using that wool? You should be using this wool. We're just
why
like
are you knitting a scarf?
Your knitting.
No one fucking wears scarves.
Scarves? That's like tier one, mate. You want S tier. S tier is hats.
You get this a lot in, PoE is a great example because normally if I'm playing something I'm really into it, I'll watch it as well. You know, like I'll watch other people just to see, you know, what they're doing and stuff like that. And what you find is like PoE is the kind of game where if you're streaming it, it's very popular to play it hardcore and it's very popular to play it like solo self-fund. So that means you have no access to trade. You can't join other people's games or anything. Like everything you find is your own. And your character has one life. And if it dies, it dies. And what you'll find is like these guys that play this way are very good at the game. They understand all the systems. They understand all the little things that are going to give them the edge or keep them alive longer or whatever. They got all these little tricks and stuff. But then you see their chat and like there's no way everybody in their chat is as good as them or playing the same way that they are.
Right.
But they're talking the talk big time, you know, like they're all, oh, the fucking stupid casuals ruin this game. So it's like, okay, man, like you are a casual. You're not even playing the game right now. You're watching someone else play it. Like that is not hardcore of you to be just watching someone else play the game well. Like just because you're watching somebody who's good at the game, it doesn't make you good at the game.
Amen.
You know, like there's a massive canyon of space between You and that person that you're watching being good at the game. Like, you know, anybody can just turn up somewhere and give it loads, but you probably suck, okay? Just get real. Before you start ragging on somebody else and calling them casual and shit at the game because they're not playing the way that you've decided it needs to be played or whatever, just have a look at yourself. Look in the mirror, you know? Wow. It's not you. Yeah. You're not there. God, there's not thousands of people watching you. They're watching the guy that you're watching as well. You're not him. Okay. Yeah. I just thought I'd say, because there's sometimes a lot
Sometimes I play the game and I look at a streamer playing the game and I'm like, yeah, I'm playing the same game. Sometimes I look at a streamer playing it and they're playing a different game. They're like, their game is like, I'm like, have I proven it wrong? Like, how has he got all this stuff? Yeah. What is all this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what you're doing. And that's POE every time. Like, even after 1,000 hours, I felt so fucking clueless. There's so many aspects of some games that you just cannot possibly assimilate all of the information on.
Well, I think for this game, the devs wanted to slow it down. They wanted to make it more, less sort of like screen clearing, you know, quickly and stuff. But there's lots of stuff in the game right now that people have figured out. And I think it's a lot more like POE 1 right now. They might change it again, but it's fast. Everything dies immediately. You know, people have figured out builds where you're just melting these bosses that were designed for you to spend like 3-4 minutes fighting, going into phases, having to learn the abilities and stuff. Like, it's quite funny, but I mean, this, I guess it is a community where they tinker around with stuff and they figure stuff out. So it's been interesting, but I don't know. I guess it's early access, so a lot will change, but it's been a ride for sure. It's been interesting. But I mean, I've enjoyed it as well. It's nice to get stuck into something.
You've already finished. You've given up.
No, I'm still going. I haven't given up yet. I should give up, but...
I played Tactical Breach Wizards this week, which I really enjoyed. You should check it out.
Is that asynchronous?
No.
Oh, thank God.
It's like an XCOM. It's okay. Like a new XCOM.
It's not like an XCOM. Stop saying that. I'm sick of people saying that. It's nothing like XCOM.
It's more like Chimera Squad.
No. XCOM. It's Chimera a puzzle Squad. Game. It's a puzzle game. Like a lot of these games.
It's great.
If you're a fan of XCOM, let me tell you why Tactical Breach Wizards is not going to fill that XCOM-shaped hole in your life. Okay?
This is sounding great.
Number one.
Let me tell you something about Tactical Breach Wizards.
Let me push my glasses up here and really go to town, frankly, on the nonsense coming out of your mouth, Lewis Brindley of the Arxcast. Okay? There's some furious typing.
Go on.
So, first of all, there's very little to no customization of your characters.
No.
The guys that are in your party are fully formed characters that have fixed dialogue, and there are some vague options of doing things, but it's a much more rigid storyline. There's no base building. There's no sort of exploring the world. There's no choosing which mission to do. It's a linear playthrough system where you're absolving a story, a quest, if you like, as you go through. And there's like cutscenes, if you like, and characters that come and go. And it's every single level that you play, you just breach into a room, and now you have like, oh, this enemy is going to do this turn and that this turn. And so if I do this and do that, I'll push him to there. It's more like a chess puzzle or any of those puzzle games. I'd say it's much more like Into the Breach than fucking XCOM. It's really very little like XCOM, other than there are people and it's turn-based. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think at the same time, this is the thing, right, where it's really good. The writing's great. The story's great. It's an encapsulated experience. I'm having a blast with it. And I just think that I read an article this week by a guy, I can't remember who was talking, who's saying that he thinks that shorter games and gameplay experiences are increasingly on the rise. These long, epic, slow games.
This Josh Sawyer said this, right?
That's interesting, because we got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 coming out next month and Civ 7 coming out next month.
Yeah, which are
neither
long,
of which you would describe
long games.
Short form gaming. That's some long shit.
I feel like you guys might like this. I played this game a couple of weeks ago. I did a promotional thing for it. It's Raw Fury's publishing it. It's called Blueprints, and it's like a puzzle game where you go through this huge mansion And you got to find, you got to like, you basically pick the room you want to go to, and it sort of forms, you know, a layout on the grid. So you can kind of dead end yourself. If you're not lucky, you know, it rolls like three rooms. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to make it to like the, you know, the end bit, cool. But you got to collect stuff along the way. You got to get like keys. You got to make sure you have enough keys, and you know, you got to recharge your steps. You have a certain amount of steps because each day it resets. So you have like, you have to do it in a certain amount of days, but each day the whole thing resets. So you have a couple of tries at it.
It looks like Betrayal at House on the Hill or one of these board games.
It's really cool though.
Where you draft a new tile to go in as this room. So you're going through a room and it's like, open a door. Yeah. I would like to go to the foyer.
Some rooms can buff like the whole run. Some rooms can debuff the whole run. And like, it's just lots of like, you know, trial and error, figuring things out. Some rooms are just like have puzzles, like math puzzles or... you know, logic
puzzles.
But I
can't imagine this game in its full release is going to take thousands of hours. You know,
I think it's one of those, like you're describing, you know, just a quick kind of
short,
fun experience.
Interesting, really well-polished experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't get me wrong. Like I like those. I've been looking for those kind of gaming experiences.
Yeah. Well, Blueprints, play the demo. You'll like it. I think you'll really like
I'll add it to my wish list.
Yeah. Did you play the Golden Idol games?
Yeah. No,
I did. Loved them.
I didn't play
those. They're fun. They're really, really cool.
I mean, I loved Oberdin. I love Papers,
Please.
Yeah,
well, you'd love
those.
This,
those are kind of quick ones as well.
You'd love Golden Idol. Yeah. It doesn't take long, and it really gets your brain ticking. It's great.
Yeah.
Golden Idol games.
The art style and the little animation style is really, it's really endearing.
It's like, really, it's really,
really
unique
enjoy
and
it.
Kind of... Yeah, really funny, really cool.
But it's like the puzzles are quite good. Like they're like, ooh.
It's like the art style is everyone is ugly. Right?
Yeah.
And there's this great scene where there's like all these models on the beach.
That's the theme of my stream as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
Hey, it's kind of funny. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's just great.
Yeah. I like games like that.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
What have you guys done other than gaming in the last week? Anything?
We are back. We are back in full swing. Tradesmen visiting our house all the damn time.
My
finishing
God.
Up
Why
this
are
job.
You doing this? Just burn the house down at
well,
this point.
Well,
yeah.
Man, it's got to be. It's. I mean, we got the loft is done. The kids are up in their rooms. The rooms are done. The bathroom is almost done up there. Just needs some fantastic mastic. And but the thing is, the rooms that they moved out of hadn't been touched since like the '80s. Like they're in, you know, they got all these old shitty, dingy like plug sockets and skirtings and stuff. So we're freshening those up because one of them is going to be our youngest's new room, and then the other one's just going to be a spare room. But I mean, like the carpet's like completely threadbare. You know, like it just hasn't been touched. So. It seems stupid to just get a bunch of work done and then just leave a bunch of stuff unfinished, you know? So
yeah,
it sucks. It's a bit of a slog, but hopefully when it's all done, we just won't need to do anything for a very long time. Everything will just be up to good standard, freshened up and everything, and we're good to go. So that's what they're doing now. They're fucking replacing ceiling tiles that are... Because there's so much weight up in the loft now that there wasn't before. So stuff is... You know, underneath the floor, underneath on the ceiling, especially is cracking and coming loose and stuff, you know, where it wasn't before just because it's old and brittle. So,
oh God.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
It has been a nightmare. Yeah. It's been a lot of, reminds me of Tarkov actually, because every time a room is done, we have to like shift a load of stuff into it. And you like, it's like inventory management on crack our house right now. There's just fucking piles of stuff everywhere.
That
gets moved around. So these two rooms, when they're finished, everything from our bedroom is going to which is where everything is being stored at the moment. It's just like an episode of Hoarders in there. all of that stuff is going to get dispersed into these two finished rooms. And then finally they can come in and actually do our room. So that'll be the last thing. So we're talking like weeks. We're weeks away from completion.
Oh, baby. Great. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. There's some big news in the Forsyth household. We got a new lamp.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. What did you call it?
Well, lamp three.
Jeez.
Lamp number
now, what's
three.
The voltage on that bad boy? Is it like one of those? Is it used like one of like the shaving plugs? You know, like that's, or is it just used like a normal plug?
It's a standing lamp, like a floor lamp.
Wow!
It was one of those things. We had the Christmas tree up, and obviously that's lit up, but it's got the lights. And we got used to having that extra light in the living room. And when we took the tree away, we realized how dark the living room was a lot of the time. We were like, fuck, it's so dark in here. We need a lamp.
How do you switch it on? Is it like got a little...
Floor button.
It's got a floor button. Okay.
Yeah.
And is the floor button...
You know the one that's on the cable.
Do you have to do like yoga basically to reach it? Or is it in a very accessible place?
It's right there.
Oh, man. You're living the dream.
I know. This lamp, it's changed our living room.
We got our lamps like behind... Wow. Our sofa, and so you gotta be like a contortionist to get back there.
Oh no!
And there's two of them, so you click one on, and then you have to like sort of shimmy along the back of the couch to click the other one.
I hate that.
It's no good,
dude. You have to get them like linked into an Alexa plug or something.
Yeah,
or some
well, that's it. That's why I was asking about the low voltage, because there's like a low. You can get low voltage lamps that
you can get the bulbs. The bulbs are actually
smart
Bluetooth.
Bulbs.
I think Philips do a smart bulb as well.
Well, I tell you what, much easier than that is you just flick a switch and it's on. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, but you could say it. You don't even have to move. You can be an actual.
I don't mind.
Alexa, turn my lights on. Turn on living room light number three.
Don't do that. So many people that will happen. So, I actually. I've got house viewing later today.
What?
Whoa!
I know. I'm going to go and see a house.
What, just for fun, or are you thinking of moving?
No,
in?
He's taking the plunge. He's going to be a big boy. He's going to be a big boy property owner in this economy as well, Lewis. You're insane.
You are insane.
I know.
But whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, what are you
going to do? I just had a phone call from the state agent, though, and so I've just had a missed call, so I don't know whether they're going to cancel the view.
No, they're not. They're probably getting like food ready for you and everything. Man, the state agent is not going to be canceling a house viewing in this day and age. They are fucking desperate. Like,
not in winter.
Nothing is shifting. Well, over here at least. It's pretty bad.
What's your advice for me, like looking at the place? Like, what should I watch out for?
Make sure don't look at a place and say, we can change this and we can change that. We can change this. Make sure that the place you buy is good to go right out of the box. No changes needed.
Can you leave all the furniture? Can I just have everything?
Not so much, but just
can I have all your stuff?
Like, if you go to a place that this is where I'm going to put my current furniture, I can see that it's going to look fine. It's going to fit. I'm not going to have to make any changes. The minute you have to start making changes, it's over, buddy. You're dead. Like, don't change your house.
I disagree with that.
Don't have anyone
in. You're not going to find a perfect house.
No.
Like, there's going to be stuff where you're like, I don't really like that. But as long as it's not like too grand, too much of a grand design situation. You could be like, oh yeah, we could just change that. That's no problem. Anything to do with decorating.
Oh, if it's decorating, that's
easy.
Fine. Yeah.
But yeah, if it's like some fundamental structural problem you have, just find another place that doesn't have that.
Gotcha.
But I agree with that. But the number one thing is the neighborhood. All else.
Yeah.
Like, you want to make sure, what's the neighborhood like? Like, even if you like the place, come back in the evening. See what it's like in the evening.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Do they have a good good internet connection around
Number two is, what's the internet like? Because if it's that's a big problem. I mean, Bristol has a big problem, just like London does. Like, anywhere that's historic, apparently the internet is not compatible because it involves digging and running cables, and you can't do that everywhere. So check that.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I think if you have a good feel for a house, that can be great. But then when you get the surveyor in, which is a very important thing, the surveyor will come in and top to bottom survey the house and come back to you with a list of problems that he could see and things that were negative about the house. And sometimes it can feel like, geez, this is so many things. But there, it's their job to find every little detail. So they'll be like, the flashing around this part of the roof is, looks a bit bad. Some of these tiles aren't great. Bit of a question mark about this brickwork. The pointing on this side of the house needs redoing. These drain pipes are not fit for purpose. Drains look small, you know, and internally they can't move anything.
No.
So sometimes people will conceal things from the surveyor. But generally, the surveyor is an experienced person, and they'll know. Like, they'll come in and say, like, well, that shouldn't be there, and that's clearly dodgy, and this piping is old as fuck, and
I would
probably
say,
need replacing. So the survey is super important.
I would say if the survey comes back, if it's an older place and there's asbestos, I would walk away, to be honest. It's yeah, not worth it.
I can't
worth
imagine
it.
That would be a thing, it but is, you don't want to fuck
it.
It
is a whole can of fucking worms. Because depending on the type of asbestos it is, and it, if they have to come in with the hazmat suits and create an airlock and shit like that, it sucks. It takes forever. It costs a lot. Like, I would not bother. Some of the asbestos is like not as bad, you know, like in some of the older building materials, but then some of it is super bad. And when it's super bad, you have to get, you know, like I said, they got to come in. It's like that the scene where E.T. is sick in the whole house. It's like that, you know, you don't want that. Yeah. I would walk away.
I'm not going to buy somewhere with asbestos. And I think, honestly, like if you were trying to sell somewhere with asbestos, no, it's not a new build. It's like, it might even be listed. That's the problem. It doesn't say, but I sort of looked, I tried to Google around
and found a thing
that said it might be
listed. I would just not even turn up to the appointment.
No, me neither.
Get
I don't
the blue plaque
get
on there that says Lewis Brindley of the Yogs Castle.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. No, you're not allowed. You have to apply it to be able to fart in your listed house. So.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Touch that with a barge pole. No, I mean, it may not be too bad, but it's moving is so stressful, but, you know, like depending on the type of place that you're moving into, it could be even more so. So,
well, the thing is, this place I'm looking at, I saw it a couple of months ago as well, and it went off the market after a couple of weeks. So obviously someone made an offer, and I asked the guy on the phone. He said that, yeah, someone had made an offer and it'd been accepted, and then they got married. And then because they were married, they counted as a single entity or whatever. So that one of them already had a house, so they would have had to have paid second home stamp duty, which would have been like an extra sort of 50 grand or something insane.
Right. So it fell through.
Yeah. But I guess like that's a shame. But also like I do feel like certain houses in certain locations do go off the market quick. So I feel like I can't, if I like it, I can't really mess around. I don't know. There's this pressure, but I know that's the estate agent will say to me, oh, you know, we've already got 10 people interested or whatever. I'm just like, ugh, I hate the whole.
Is it like way out of the city?
Process. No, it's like just on the edge of the
All right.
Edge
so
of
you
town.
Could still like get to the office.
And honestly,
easily,
like I'm not too worried because I know loads of good places are going to come up in the next, like in March and April and stuff. But you know, of course, after everyone has this New Year's resolution is to sell their house, right? And move house. And so there's this glut of them coming on the market in sort of March and April.
I'm never selling my damn house. Not after all this.
you're standing on
a pile of rubble. It's like that's my hill. I'm staying here.
I'm gonna die on this hill.
Yeah, right.
That I built many men.
Yeah, many men
coming.
Many men. Yeah. No. Well, men. Good luck. I mean, it's exciting looking around houses and stuff, but also try not to get too discouraged because sometimes it just takes a little while, you know. Don't rush it. Make sure that the place that you get is like ticks most of the boxes, if not all. Don't compromise too much.
Right.
Don't feel rushed into a decision.
Speaking of something, this summer, I've just been reminded, we're thinking of going to Japan for a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
That will be the summer holiday.
Yeah.
And the kids are incredibly excited about it.
I bet, yeah.
It's quite a long flight, but I figure 2 weeks is fine. What tips or tricks do you have, Lewis, as someone who's been there? And if anyone wants to mail into the mailbag about a potential holiday in Japan, what's good? What should we not do? What kind of barriers are we going to face? What's the language going to be like? I know someone said you need a lot of cash because paying by card isn't as common over there or something. So
might have been changed since COVID, though. Like that's the case. I didn't actually even use my card once when I was on holiday for 2 weeks over Christmas because I think everywhere's just got little beepers now. That was in Spain, obviously, but I think Japan's changed a lot since then. My advice is not to go in actual summer because it's fucking hot there during, you know, the summer months of July, August.
Well,
so
that's
probably
when we're
September,
going.
October will be.
Well, that's your first mistake.
But having kids that have summer holidays is the thing. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be hot.
Yeah, that's all right.
So make sure you stay somewhere that has
aircon.
How
hot can it be? It was fucking 36, nearly 40 in London a couple of summers ago. So it can't be much worse than that. I'm sure they're used to it.
I think they have aircon and stuff over there too.
They're up on it. There is so much to do though. You can spend like people will write in and give you their trip.
Yeah, I'm sure
stuff.
They will.
But I've got a friend of mine actually lives there and is like.
If it's your first time going, how long are you going for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends like what kind of stuff you like doing generally. But I mean, Tokyo is huge and there's tons to do there. Like you wouldn't run out of things to do or see in Tokyo. And I guess you'd probably want a couple of days where you're just chilling and stuff too. Not really doing too much, but there's shopping. There's like historical things to see. There's, you know, just the atmosphere of the place generally is, you know, it's crazy. It's a huge, huge. It's like 30 million people live there or something. It's wild.
Mad.
Yeah. But I don't know. Cause when I went, we just stayed in Tokyo. We didn't go anywhere else. We didn't travel out.
Yeah, no, we're going to do a little traveling and we're going to take the bullet train or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. The Shinkansen. Yeah. Yeah, it's worth it. Honestly, you'll have a great time. I couldn't recommend it more. Everyone, I couldn't recommend more going to Japan for a couple of weeks. It's like the most alien place.
But they really don't speak English, do they?
No.
They do in Tokyo. There's a lot of signs in English. Outside Tokyo, it's harder, obviously.
Okay.
But around the tourist areas,
we had to do a lot of pointing.
And so much of Tokyo is the tourist areas.
Went to Subway and ordered a sub and had to point at all the toppings.
Okay.
It depends. Some people are fine, and then some people just don't speak a word of English. You know, just
I'll get the old Google Translate out.
Yeah, we live in this crazy day and age where it's not as much of a problem. Like when we went in 2007, and there was a lot less of that available. So it was like, I mean, I think we still had a book with like common phrases we had to like read, and it never worked. It was awful.
a phrase book. Yeah, it was a different time.
Duomo Arigato. Like, it's just like, I don't know what we didn't have a clue, but people were generally like nice, helpful, like understanding, you know, like it was fine. It was fun.
Okay, this cannot be right. This is the Google Translate for I would like an Italian BMT sandwich with tomatoes, lettuce, and ranch dressing. Okay, are you ready? This is in Japanese. Tomato, retasu, ranchi dressingu, osoeta Italian with an R, BMT, sandwichu, onegashimasu.
I really want you to.
Can you film
that.
The whole trip, please?
With you doing that.
Sandwichi is amazing.
Sandwichi.
Sandwichi, onegashimasu. I'll really try and practice it. Ranchi dressingu.
You're gonna have a lot of fun, I think, in Japan.
Yeah,
I
think you will. Yeah, it's
just put a U or an O on the end of shit. Hamburgeru, and they'll be like, gotcha. Yeah. Apparently, that's like we've had emails about that before. Actually, people saying they got in a cab. And they were like, oh, can you take me to the Hilton Hotel, please? And they're like, huh? Hilton Hotel. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Go to Tokyo Disneyland just for one day, Flax. Go check it
out. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's already quite, the flights alone are expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about Disneyland tickets as well. And also, my kids are older.
The tickets are expensive, but if you're not actually staying over there, it's obviously a lot less, you know, just for the day. Yeah, I don't know if you're not like if your kids aren't into it, but some of the new stuff looks nuts. Like it actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, flights alone. Oh god, yeah, in 2 weeks. Yeah. Oh my god, man.
I mean, the thing is, the yen is super bad at the moment.
Is it?
Like Mrs. F was like, the Japanese economy is in ruins. We should go there.
That's the best time to go.
Yeah, so it's like reverse economic migration, right? It's like the country. the yen is super weak.
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah.
It's even tempting to buy some yen now in gotcha. Case they recover
yeah.
by the summer. I don't know. But yeah, buy so low, it's sell really high. Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know that when Lids and Ravs and I think Tom and Ben went out there actually last year, they said it was amazing and they had a ton of fun and that it was nowhere near as expensive as they thought it was going to be because of the Japanese economy.
Yeah.
It is mad. It is mad.
God.
Do you think that the biggest problem for the Japanese economy, apart from I know there was some banking problem they had a few years ago now, is that they used to be this big export country and everybody bought all their electronics from Japan?
I think they're probably
and
just
now
running.
China's taken over?
I think they're running out of 12-year-old girls because I was told that the entire Japanese economy is hinged off the back of young girls buying like stationery and toys and stuff like that. This is what
Hello
I was told.
Hello Kitty is in tatters.
Yeah.
The economy right. was entirely
maybe they,
propped
you
up
know,
by
maybe
Hello Kitty.
If they're not having as many kids as they once had before and there's no...
Well, that's true.
They're running so low on young girls, you know, maybe that's why the economy is suffering so much.
So the birth rate in Japan is an average of 1.26 births per woman.
Okay, and how that's many of those will turn into 12-year-old
girls?
12-year-old
girls. Well,
half.
I would say half.
Well,
not quite half, because some
you
of
say
course
that
will
so confidently, but
perish before
you
they get
know.
There.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
saying.
True. Yeah.
But so that's lower than Canada, which is 1.33, and the US is just 1.66. So
yeah.
The birth rate has been declining since 1970. It's been a steady decline.
Right.
So obviously that means
less girls flooding the market.
Less 12-year-old girls flooding the market and buying stationery is one thing,
yeah.
but also pensions. You have the age expected life expectancy of Japan is high, so you have a aging population that is sucking money out of the economy without contributing. Dare I say it? They already did their contributing, but now you need other people to come in and contribute to make up for their lack of contribution,
yeah.
and it ain't happening.
Demographics. Yeah, I mean, they don't look great around the world. The more, like, I think South Korea has a less than one.
Yeah,
so,
it's
you know,
not great.
Each woman has less than one child, which means they're going to, population's going to shrink quite dramatically. But they're also, these countries are notoriously anti-immigration, though.
Yeah.
Both of them, Korea and Japan, are very racist against each other. People coming over there, they're racist against Chinese people coming over there. And so they're really anti-immigrant. So they hate the idea that...
What, somebody's going to come over and steal their jobs.
And help their economy and look after them in their old age, yeah. It's,
they don't want anyone
very
going
strange.
Over there to steal their gerbs.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's we're in a strange situation there. But no, I don't think that's too much of a thing yet. I think it's a thing that's a worry in the future,
right.
PFLAX.
It's bad now.
I think they've had problems already. Yeah, well, I did see there was like an article about a Japanese train that was running just for one student to take them to school.
Yeah.
Which does feel like a very Japanese thing.
Was it a 12-year-old schoolgirl with a
almost
backpack
certainly.
Just fucking bulging with stationery?
she's having to do a lot of heavy lifting to keep that economy going. She's having to buy
she's
so much.
She's
got to
have corrective spine surgery because the backpack is so heavy.
To give you some idea, by 2070, they expect the population to fall. It's projected to fall by 30%.
Shit.
Yeah. So that's 50 years.
Yeah, but dude,
we're all going to be dead.
No, we're not. It's
hard
you
having
can't
kids,
think
though.
Ahead like, oh, well, 50 years, who cares? I mean, by that token, why do anything for the future at all?
But think
the
about it,
the fact is,
though.
It's happening now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to do something about it
Yeah,
now.
But think about it nowadays. Okay, you have a kid. You still both need to work. It's almost impossible
Listen,
now for somebody to stay home with their
you
kids.
You wait, okay. You go to Japan, PFLAX, and then you tell me that it's a problem if there's 30% less people. You go to one train station in Japan, you'll be like, I wish there was fucking 80% less people in this
yeah,
train
that's
station.
That's true.
It's
it is
fucking
it
rammed.
Is rammed.
Everywhere is
yeah,
packed.
Yeah, it's not like a desolate ghost country.
If there's 30% less people in Japan, they'll be
you
way better
off, notice.
To be honest.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice.
I don't know if that's true.
No, but...
It's fucking packed.
But
you just wait, honestly. It's one of
right,
the most
well,
densely populated
they think
places
it's a crisis, and you're saying few less people sounds good to me.
Everything
has to be growing, though, right? Everyone's obsessed with the idea that we have to have more of everything, right? And I think finally only people are coming around to say maybe we should have less of a few things. I don't know, less like pollution and less, I don't know, just less.
But Lewis,
less
that's
consuming,
a problem for the future. That's 50 years' time. Who cares?
30% less people is not a problem.
Okay.
If anything, it's a solution to a lot of other problems.
But it's who the 30% less is, though, because the thing, it becomes a problem when there's nobody to take, to come up and take on important jobs. You know,
if you've got
a country full of 60-year-olds, well, you're doomed. You're nothing's going to happen. You're not going to have any doctors. You're not going to have any teachers. You're not going to have. And then they are going to have to get them. I mean, it's happening everywhere already.
Listen, we live in a global economy, though. Like, there's countries like the Philippines who train up nurses and send them across the world, you know, and they work everywhere. Like, that's not great for them.
No, it's not great. I don't think
that's
like at all sustainable, though. I think a lot of that stuff needs to be pushed in our countries, you know what I mean? Like, there needs to be more incentive for people to get into these jobs because they mostly suck. Like, fuck me, imagine being
a
teacher.
Yeah, but they don't want to pay.
I can't think of anything worse.
Like,
but
it's very hard to pay people this money, apparently.
Yeah, but they also, like, I think even a long time, well, I say a long time ago, even like 50 years ago, it was much more common for somebody like a couple to have a house that was big enough to have a couple of children. I think the average age of somebody moving out of their parents' house now is like 30 or 30. Something. It's fucking insane. Like, what the hell are you going to do? You can't even get one foot on the ground. Like, you're both going to be working for sure. Like, there's no way that somebody's staying home and looking after kids in your postage stamp sized flat. What are you going to have, four kids in a one bedroom apartment?
I am not arguing against any of that.
Yeah,
you're right.
There is zero incentive for people to have kids, and then they're wondering why nobody's having kids. Well,
yeah,
fuck me, it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, most of you guys have managed to make so much money. Like, it is kind of simple economics. Like, it's really not difficult to see why people are choosing not to have children. Like, it's just impossible.
Oh, completely. Yeah, yeah. I think that, but this is it. We live in a economy, and if people want things to happen, they have to encourage those things to happen. You know, if you want to make it, you know, if you want to offer subsidies on growing corn, everyone's going to grow corn. Yeah. Like, that's how it works.
But like the cost of childcare is astronomical.
What I'm saying is that countries
that safe half the time. Like, there's every other week now.
These things are so complicated, though, Sips, right? We've got this massively interlinked global economy with all these different problems going on, and which one's the most important.
Oh,
and
I know.
You know, the world is so difficult to grasp, and it sounds so simple, you know. Let's get all of Bill Gates's money, let's get all of Bezos and Musk's money, and give it to teachers, and they can all get pregnant, and then we have more 12-year-old girls to buy tat and plastic crap, and then we save the world. Okay, let's write that down. Let's send it. I'll write a letter
even
to Keir Starmer.
Teachers, though, I think a long time ago, maybe there was more incentive to do it because it was a more respected job. I mean, probably children were different a long time ago.
Listen, we totally don't respect teachers.
Like, class
sizes
are enormous now. Like, I can't believe my kids' classes have not just one teacher, but they'll have a teacher and then like two teaching assistants.
We
didn't have that when I was a kid because we just didn't have 30 people in a class when I was a kid.
We did have 30 kids in a class. But there was a difference, certainly from what I've seen. When I was younger, the kids who were special educational needs, who were disruptive, who were a problem, went to a special school.
They don't do that anymore.
They don't do that. Now they put them in
your kids
the
basically
mainstream
have to,
population.
Yeah, and then your kids basically spend half the day cowering in a bunker while
dodging these kids.
One kid is just off on one, throwing chairs around and breaking windows. And
that's literally what happened. I know. I was talking to my youngest about it the other day, and she said, I was talking to my friends the other day. Primary school was crazy. I'm like, why? And she was like listing all these things that had happened where it was always the same two or three kids who were just hitting people, smashing chairs over people. One of them had a stick fight with the headmaster. Like, he had a massive stick and he was coming at the headmaster. The headmaster was like defending himself with a smaller stick from this kid. And there was teachers in tears because they didn't know how to cope with these kids. It's unbelievable. So you then have these teachers on these frozen pay, people bitching about, they went on strike because they want more.
Oh my God.
Like, you have all that
There's not enough money in the world that I would take to have to deal with kids.
Who would do it? You're a saint if you do it, honestly. So I will not hear a fucking word against teachers because I know exactly what it's like.
We were all little shits in our time. Do you know what I mean? And we've all
had teachers.
I was not.
I think there's certain things you could all associate with, you know?
On report all the time. Academically, I was very bad.
But in terms of behavior, I was very good. Too much talking, clowning around all the time.
Yeah, I did get chucked out for talking, but that's not disruptive.
No, well, it is. That's why you got
chucked out.
Yeah, but
they just boot you out. It wasn't like hitting people and shit.
No, it wasn't like, I wasn't having like a psychotic episode every time I was kicked out. I was just...
That made us into the men we are today, guys.
What, getting stood outside and then Mr. Hawkins would come around
and
say...
That was our Vietnam.
He would say, and why are you in the hallway? And I'd say, talking in class, Mr. Hawkins. You'd say, it looks like you'll be having detention with me after school, boy. I'd be, God. Yes, Mr. Hawkins. He was a loon.
Yeah. We had a couple.
Well, sometimes, the teachers had their own way of controlling. I guess it does make sense to have a couple of assistants in there because certain teachers could not handle the class. And others did it with their technique of being mad, actually insane. Like a couple of teachers were frighteningly, and they would flip on a dime as well and be like shouting at you and crazy, you know, and then they'd be back to nice again. And it's they were the ones that you treated really carefully, you know.
I mean, my daughter was telling me the other day that one of her teachers was just interrupted the lesson to berate the kids for 20 minutes about how they were never going to amount to anything and they were failures and it was a disgrace and all this stuff. And I'm like, I sometimes wish I was there so I could like at least step up and defend them in some level, because I mean, I just feel like as much as I have respect for and love teaching as a profession, there are some teachers that are so fucking bad that it's like scarring to kids.
I mean,
and changes their view of education and that subject forever.
Yeah.
So a good teacher will absolutely change your life, but a bad one can too. And I think sometimes people forget that there are some really shitty teachers out there and they just don't seem to get found out. It really pisses me off.
There's the GPs are the same, you know, some are incredible and some are dire, you know, like
it happens everywhere.
Yeah. But
it's like my stepmother always says, what do you call the person who finished bottom in his class in medical school? Doctor. I was like, all right, fuck. So, you know, some guy scrapes through doctor school and he's still a doctor.
You could be a doctor of all sorts of things. Like, I mean, look at Dr. Dre, just generally a doctor. could be like a doctor of music. You could be a doctor of the arts.
Like a Dr. Simon Clark.
Dr. Simon Clark. You could be Dr. Simon Clark.
I'm tempted every time I see him.
You could be Dr. Phil.
Oh, I've got God. A rash. I have a,
what a roller coaster ride that's
Dr. Simon Clark, I've got a rash on the inside of my elbow.
I've got a really itchy asshole.
My penis is sore. Can you look at it, doctor? Oh, I'm not that kind of doctor. Oh, really?
Well, what good are you then? I got a sore penis here, for Christ's sake.
You're walking around calling yourself doctor and I'm walking around with a sore dick.
I've got to go over to this house view, so we have to stop.
Oh, let us know what it's like.
The next episode we do of the podcast is going to be Lewis telling us all about his new potential house. Oh my God.
Well, tomorrow we're doing a mailbag. Do we want to do the house viewing next week? Do we want to talk about it next week?
No, no. If he's going today, it's going to be fresh. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah, we're talking about tomorrow.
All right, cool.
I can't wait.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
All.
Bye. Bye. Bye.